So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Why don't you go with me in your Bibles to probably my second or third favorite passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. We began talking about 3 weeks ago about change. Now, we've only got a few, couple of 3 weeks left in this year, and everybody's going to be start looking at New Year's resolutions. I have found out that New Year's resolutions last about as long as New Year's Day. But I don't want just to make some empty promises to myself and my family about what I'm going to change. I want God to change some things in me that is unpleasing unto Him and make me a better man, make me a better Christian, make me a better pastor, make me a better father, so forth and so on. That's what I want, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, my children are praying for it. My wife is interceding for it. Amen. You can think you're all that in a bag of chips if you want to, but I know me. I know I need the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, I know you. You need the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But we started talking about changes, that you have the power to change yourself. And we talked about that, but it's really the power through Jesus Christ. Because how many in this room will be a little vulnerable and say that I have tried to do better. I'm going to do better. Anybody? Yeah, almost everybody. The ones that didn't raise your hand aren't even trying. So, you know, I tried some do better. I'm going to do better. I would tell myself, I'm going to do better. You know, I do that with my weight all the time. I'm going to do better. And then my wife makes some yum yum. And then I'm going, all right, I'm going to do better right after I get through with this. Matter of fact, I'm going to feel better when I get done with this. But at some point in time, you got to quit just talking about it and start doing it, right? We talked about you have the power to change yourself. Last week, we talked about the dynamics of change. Tonight, and I don't know if tonight will be the last one. I think I may have one more. I don't know. But tonight, I want to deal with stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. The power to change. Change is coming. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the perfect will of God. Now, what you've got to decide is if you got to go ahead and make the decision. Is God's will, no matter what I think, is God's will the best will for my life? Now, if you have any sense in your life at all, if you have a notion to believe in God, you ought to think that God wants the best for you. You know, I've heard these arguments. Well, I just want to be happy when they're talking about sinning. I just want to be happy. See? The Lord's spotlighting somebody right now. He's saying everybody here. That's what he was saying right there. Everybody here. And wow, that like one is right. Oh, there it goes the other side. See? Yeah, yeah. Now, hey, guys, at some point in time, we're going to have to quit because squirrel, you know, that's going to be me. So at some point in time, you know, if we got to lose live stream, you should have been at church anyway. So we may have to do whatever you got to do. But I can't take all them lights and stuff like that when I'm trying to preach because I'll be doing rabbit trails off over here, talking about pizza and cornbread over there. And I'll be all over the place. All right, so no idea where I was at. See? That's what I'm saying. And so, what was I saying? Quit making excuses. Yeah, yeah. Let me ask the preacher, what? See, he's really listening. The rest of y'all just playing. No. He's taking some notes. Yeah. No. All right, so is God's will the best will for you? So if you really believe that, no matter where God takes you, then you're going to believe that this is the will of God, no matter what it looks like. And we probably could all, most of us could raise our hands that we did something we didn't want to do. When we felt like it was God's will to do it, but we didn't want to do it. But when we did it, when we got on the other side, we were like, oh, thank you, Jesus, I did that. I mean, there are multiple times in my life. You know, when I first went to pastor a church, I left a good paying job to go pastor this church. We took a half a cut in pay of our overall income, sold my home that I'd paid for, sold it so we could go be a pastor. And I did all that for this big, prestigious job of pastor of 18 people. I mean, there were more people who worked for me when I quit my job. I had 300 people under me, and I went to pastor 18 people. Now, it didn't look right, and I had to make some, you know, I had to make some concessions, and I had to prepare myself to do the will of God, but I did it. And then God blessed that church, and we were running about 80 to 95 people on any given Sunday, and God was moving, and God was blessing, and then I felt God leading me to leave. I wasn't sure where. Long story short, the pastor of this church at that time asked me to come down and preach. He said, I think you would fit real good, and I came down and preached, and everybody in the church said they wanted me to come be their pastor. Now 25 years later, ain't none of them left. No, we still got three. Really, three. But anyway, but so I came here to be the pastor, but it was hard for me to leave a church that knew me to come to a church that didn't know me. Because if you haven't recognized or not, I'm not normal. And more than likely because you attend here, neither are you. That's about what I've decided. So, but you know, I thought, man, if I leave this church that knows who I am and they know, you know, sometimes, how many understand that sometimes it's better to sit beside the devil you know than to have to deal with the devil you don't know. And so I'm thinking, man, it might be best for me just to stay here in Blunchtown, Florida. And only a few people know where that's at. Go to the end of the earth, you're almost there. You can see the end of the earth from there anyway. And so, you know, so, but to go from there to come to the big metropolis of Crystal River, Citrus County. Oh, yeah, baby, that's a metropolis compared to Blunstown. At 6 o'clock, they'd roll up the sidewalks. And so, but I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And then, of course, you know, and here's what's crazy, is when I got here, it was supposed to be a bigger church than the church I left. Just kidding. I left the church running 80 to 95 people. I got here in my first service, we had 47. And matter of fact, are we live streaming? Okay, good. So, and matter of fact, I ran into the couple that was my first Sunday. The couple got up and walked out on me. We got 45. I seen that couple Sunday at the steakhouse. Yeah. And they, matter of fact, they recognized me. And they talked to me for like 5 or 10 minutes before I realized, there they go. I'm like, oh, yeah. And they left because the guy said, I just can't take a dancing preacher. I said, dude, this is my first service. You better get on up out of here before I start dropping it like it's hot up in here. Y'all, you need to go on move right now. I ain't even got loose yet. And so anyway, but what I'm saying is you got to know what the will of God is. And if you know what the will of God is, even if it's unpleasant to you, you know that it's for your benefit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just my reasonable service. I don't need a pat on the back or a medal of honor to do what God's called me to do when it's just my reasonable service, because he went to a cross for you and me. He died so that you and I could have life. He came to put life in our living, and now we are to worship him and glorify him. So that's just my reasonable service. So we keep talking about change, and we keep talking about how much the world needs to change. You need to decide, do I truly believe that God has a will for me? And he does. Does God have a will for me? Does God have a plan for me? Now, please do not clog up my email. Pastor, what's God's will for me? I don't know. I'm not him. I got his email address, though. He never returns my email, but I have it. Because God wants to talk to you about his will for you. Now, let me just give you some. His will for you is not somebody else's spouse. There's some things I can tell you ain't his will. His will for your life is not to be a drunk or not to be a drug dealer unless you're a pharmacist. His will for your life is not to shack up. His will for your life is for you to be happy, but to be in his will. His will for your life is for you to have a productive life on this earth. That's his will. But can I tell you, his will is not always about your happiness. Happiness comes from a Latin word that I cannot pronounce, but it means what happens. And so I'm happy dependent upon what happens to me. And happiness is, it can come and go. Happiness, you know, there are times that I am happy and there are times I'm unhappy. When I go to the pantry and I open up my jar of extra crunchy Jif peanut butter and it's empty, I'm unhappy. You probably go berserk, don't you? I'm unhappy. But you'll get a 4-pounder. I'm unhappy, but that's not going to change my life. I know I'm being a little facetious here, but you understand what I'm saying? That happiness is fleeting. I can be happy and unhappy 10,000 times a day. Amen? You get a bill in, unhappy. You get your check, happy. You look at the taxes, unhappy. Right? I mean, it just goes back and forth. Oh, you put it in the bank, happy. You buy groceries, unhappy. Go buy gas, unhappy. Pay your electric, unhappy. Then it's cold, happy because you paid your electric. I mean, you know, it just goes back and forth, baby. But what God wants you to have is joy, and he wants you to be conformed to the image of his son. And he's more concerned about your holiness than he is your happiness. He's more concerned about transforming you and I into the image of his son more than he is about you just being happy about your life. But can I tell you something? If you can stand sometimes to go through some unhappiness, you will get to the part where you'll have joy. Now, what do you mean by that? How many of you happy every time you get up and go to work? Don't even try to lie. I work here, and there are some days I'm unhappy to come to work. Not because I'm just, you know, I'd rather stay at home. I'd rather sleep. I'd rather do what? I'd rather just not deal with anybody's problems. Right? Pastor, I'm just, come on. There are just days like that. There are days I'm going to come in here, and Rodney's going to have a bad day, and I got to deal with Rodney. Now, Rodney don't usually have a bad day. Usually it's Roy. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding, Roy. I'm messing with you, Roy. He's retired now. But you understand what I'm saying. You have those bad days. But if you have the joy of the Lord, your happiness can fluctuate, but your joy doesn't have to. Why? Because your joy, the joy of the Lord, is my strength. And if my strength is in the Lord says, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same God that when you went through the trouble, I was there. I'm the same God that when you celebrated, I'm the same God. I didn't change. My attributes didn't change. What I think about you didn't change. I'm the same. And so therefore you can have joy without having happiness. So true change is not brought about by the formation of new laws, but rather than by the transformation of each one's life. You know, if they make a new law, that didn't change you. What changes your world is you. What changes your sphere of influence is you. And you have the ability to do that. Change starts with the renewing of our minds, with the word of the living God. To begin to see success, we are destined to have, and God wants you to have success. We must eliminate excuses. We have the power to change our lives. Now, what is my first slide? Because I really don't remember. There, okay, good. I thought I had one more before then. Point number one, change is not easy, but it is possible. Change isn't easy, man. I mean, you know, whatever you want to change it easy. Because you've developed a habit, and that habit forms your life. And so somewhere along the line, you've got to break the habit, and by replacing it with a new habit. And I talked about that in the first sermon on this series. So to experience change, you ready? You first got to change your mind, your ideas, and your attitudes. That's where you start. See, some people go, I'm just going to change. No, you got, I mean, if anybody in here, if you've ever lost weight, it had to get to the point where you got your mind right. Right? And when you get your mind right, it don't matter. I mean, I've lost weight once. And when I did, it's because I got my mind right. And it didn't matter. You know, we were with some friends last night, and we was at a Christmas party, and one of the men there has got his mind right because somebody's been picking on him. And so he's got his mind right to lose some weight. And man, we had all of this food spread out. I mean Southern cooking food. I'm talking about Sherry Reed special food. We had ham. We had green beans cooked with some fat, bacon grease fat. We had some rolls, even more rolls than is on my body. Come on. We had some buttered rolls. We had some, We had some corn casserole, sweet potato souffle, some creamy macaroni and cheese. We had yum yum. We had coconut cake. We had pecan cake. We had a pecan pie. We had pound cake. We had cheesecake. We had some bologna cake. No, not the bologna cake. But we had all this stuff, man. And so I said, man, you could have some of that. He goes, no, I'm just going to have this ham. Because his mind's made up. And that's where we got to get, is we got to get our mind made up. And when we get our mind made up, it changes our ideas, and then it changes our attitude. You know, right now, my attitude is, this coming Saturday is bacon day at the Reed House. So my attitude and my ideas are a little changed right now. My mind says, I'm going to diet after about a week and a half of me eating them sweets. That's when I'm going to try to get my mind right. But before then, I ain't even thinking about it. I'm just thinking about some fudge and some peanut butter balls and some Christmas cookies. That's what I'm thinking about. Uh-huh. Come in here Sunday, I'm going to look like a big can of busted biscuits is what I'm going to look like. I'm going to be out everywhere. I'm going to do it. All right. But small changes begin to develop confidence in your ability to change.
Remember when you lost that first pound? I can do it. But now here's what you got to remember. And I don't know if everybody can see me, but I'll get out here. Here's what you got to remember. If that's your destination, most of us like to take that big step, right? But if that's your destination, the smallest step is still a step. Any progress is still progress. And so instead of looking for the home run, just look for the first down. Instead of looking for the home run, just look for, I'm gaining momentum. Well, Pastor, I ain't even gaining momentum, but are you losing any? You got to know what a win looks like. Because the devil wants you to think, you got all of this change to do. No, start where you are. You got to start where you are. It's the first step. You got to change your mind, change your ideas, and change your attitudes. Now, hear me closely, church. This book is what changes my mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you putting in your mind? Whatever you read, whatever you infiltrate your mind, that's what's going to begin to work on your mind. So why not put it in the Word of God? Put the Word of God in your mind. All right? So for Christians, change should be a lifestyle. I'm constantly changing. I don't, somebody like, well, Pastor, I'm just tired of changing. Well, because you had so much changing to do. I mean, really, you know? I mean, you know, Sister Cash has been saved a long time, you know, but I'm sure there are still some things that God is doing in her and working in her and to make her a better person. Sister Caps, she's been serving God a long time. She finally arrived. God, I don't deal with her no more. Now, here's the thing. God, you know, I'm not tempted with crack. I'm over that. Plumber crack, anything, I ain't even tempted with that. But there are other things that I still deal with, right? But as you grow in God, you never completely get over temptation. There's always something there. Maybe it's to talk about somebody. Maybe it's to have a bad attitude or whatever it is. There's always something there, but it does change. Well, Pastor, why do I try? Because after you get to a certain level in your walk with God, the things that used to make you stumble, you just step right on over and keep moving. And the things that you used to fret over and cry over, now you dance on and now you shout about because it has no control or hold on you any longer. So for Christians, change should be a lifestyle. Change begins on the inside. So why don't you allow Jesus to change your heart? You have the power to change it, but you got to let Jesus do it. Submit to the guidance. Oh, what a concept of the Holy Spirit. Submit to His guidance, and He'll help you change. Realize, now here's something I had to find out. Realize that you can't change other people. You can't change other people. So why don't you focus on changing yourself? You can't change other people because the Lord knows if we could, we would, right? Oh, I just wish my children, I wish my husband, I wish my wife, I wish my aunt, I wish my cousin, I wish my friend. But you can't change it, so be the change. Change in you. And let them see that in you. Point number two is this. Let me give you three reasons why people don't desire to change. Because we think that everybody desires to change. But no, we say that. A lot of people say we want to change. But we don't go through with it. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you, especially women. Y'all need to, single women, y'all need to listen to me closely. Every man that gets married goes, oh, I hope they don't change. And every woman goes, I'll change him. That's some truth. It ain't going to happen, bro. Sis, it ain't going to happen. More than likely, they're going to change for the wrong reasons in the wrong direction. So I tell everybody I do premarital counseling with, can you live with each other for the rest of your life If they don't change one iota, I don't know what an iota is, but if they don't change one iota, can you live with them for the rest of their life? And if you can't live with them and be happy, then you probably ought not marry them. Well, that's kind of strong, Pastor. I was like, yeah, it is. Because, see, listen, love is not blind. Love just disregards what they see. I mean, come on. My wife still says, baby, you're so good looking. I go, I know she's lying. And she ain't blind. She sees it. She just disregards it. I know that. Come on, somebody. Fear. All right, let me give them to you. All right, here they are. Number three of them. Three reasons why people desire or reasons why people don't desire to change. Number one, fear that they can't change. I can't change. All right? And which I agree with the saying. However, sometimes we go, well, I am what I am. Yeah, you used to be something else. I love Popeye's honesty. If y'all didn't hear me, because I'm also divorced. Three times. All right, so let that be a lesson to you. I am what I am, all by yourself, all by myself. Yeah, all by yourself. You are what you are. But if you want to be around some folk, then you're going to have to change something, right? I mean, but most people fear that they can't change. Well, why don't you change? Well, I can't change. It's the way God made me. No, God made you a baby, but you changed. You grew out of it. God made you where you pooped and peed on yourself, but you quit that until you get a little older, and then you start back again. I mean, come on. You got to get to the point, man, that, you know, I just can't change. Yes, you can. Now, here's the thing. Here's the reality. You might not can change as fast as you want or other people want you to change, but you can change. If you don't believe that, then you haven't been listening to what I've been preaching, or you don't believe what I'm preaching. Because you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change. Life and circumstances caused you to be the way that you are, and so therefore God can rearrange those circumstances through with your right perspective. You can change what you used to think in order to be. You know, I've had people go, well, you know, my daddy was a forward man, and my great-granddaddy was a forward man, and I'm a forward man. Well, you can change that. Ain't no big deal. You know, well, my daddy was Chevrolet. No, whatever, man. You can change that. You know, oh, here's one. This, I'm not joking. Well, my daddy told me. My daddy told me that every married man needs a little side piece. And so I'm just following after what my daddy told me. That's going to get you killed, bro. And if they friends with my wife, she'll know how to take care of the body. They won't find it. They won't find you, bro. They fear that they can't change. And so people don't want to admit it. Listen, if you're afraid, change won't happen. Or change, if you're afraid, change won't happen because you won't initiate the process. If you don't think nothing's going to change, then you'll never initiate the process. That's why you need to hear the testimonies of some people. That's why you need to hear, you know, hey, I once was a drug addict, but praise God, now I'm not. That's why you need to hear, I used to be petrified and terrified by anxiety, and I couldn't go out of the house, but Jesus changed some things in me, and now I am. I used to be abusive, or I was abused, or whatever the case is, but I'm not what I used to be, because when Jesus comes in and he cleanses your heart, he sets you on a path of change. He sets you on a journey, and he changes you by cleansing your heart and making you new. And as you read the Word of God, it gives you more and more fuel, and you become who God called you to be. God never called you to be less than. He called you to be more than. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given us the power to change. The second reason why people don't desire to change is they perceive the need for change as an admission of weakness. All right. Don't point at nobody and don't you raise your hand. Well, let's go to counseling. Well, ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. It's all you. If you had just changed, we'd be all right. If you just go back to being who you used to be, we'd be all right. Goes back to the guy not wanting the woman to change. Well, I'm not the problem. I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've sat down with couples and said, well, what's the problem? And they go and they blame each other. Her? Him? We didn't have no problem. Or they blame God. God? We didn't have no problem before we came to God. Yeah, because y'all was running in the same direction as the devil. If you don't ever run into the devil, you might be running in the same direction. So they perceive that if I admit that I'm in need of change, then that means that I'm admitting that there's a weakness in my life. And people don't want to admit their weakness, so they deceive themselves into thinking that they don't need to change. Well, everybody else needs to change. You know, listen, and are we live streaming? All right, I'm going to talk about folk tonight. No, I ain't going to call nobody's name, but they might know who they are. Because I know a dude who, you know, his... We are streaming. Yeah. I just love you so much. And I'm going to still say it. Because you know me. If you know me well enough, I'll say it in front of you and to your face and behind your back too. Now I'm just going to speak truth. But there's a guy who's a Christian, and his claim to fame is, well, nobody likes me because I just tell it like it is. Well, you know, they hated Jesus. And if they hated Jesus, then, you know, I'm in good company because they hate me too. I don't know what Bible you're reading. The only people who hated Jesus was religious people. Everybody who he came to give hope to loved him. Why? Because he loved them even while they were in their sin. See, you got to learn to love the sinner and hate the sin. But the problem is we hate the sin and the sinner. No, baby, you got to hate the sin but love the sinner. And so their claim to fame is nobody likes me. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. Let me help you, baby. If nobody likes you, you need to go back to Calvary. You need to take a trip back to Jesus and let him soften your heart and give you some sweetness. And I'm not talking about no sweetness. I'm talking about some sweetness in here. Give you some sweetness in here to make you love some folks. Because you're not going to win anybody to Jesus by beating them over the head with a big Bible or with your fist or your conviction or your whatever. But when you tell them there is a God that loves you and there's a God who died for you and there's a God that will give you hope. There's a God that can take your pain away. There's a God who can change your life and turn your life around. If you'll just give him your life, then that will get people's attention. And how you do that is go, let me tell you what God did for me. He didn't. You ain't got to be a theologian. You don't have to be a preacher. All he asks you to be is a witness. And a witness tells people what they've heard, what they've seen, and what they've experienced. When they say, how does that work? Here's the, let me help you. How does that work? I don't know. But I just know it does. Because it worked for me. And God's no respected person. It takes a strong person to look at themselves and admit that they need to change. Number three is this. People don't want to settle or unsettle things in their lives. I don't want to change nothing. Everything just got settled. I was ministering to this particular gentleman. And you know, they wasn't going to church, but somehow we got to talking. And I know the story, but I know how we got to talking, but I won't go into all that in case he's watching. But we got to talking about the Lord. And I got to witnessing to him about coming to the church. And he goes, man, He said, if I come to church, it's just going to unsettle everything in my life. I go, excuse me? He goes, I just got everything kind of settled. And I just don't want any more unsettledness. I'm a little tired. And so I just want things to be calm for a little while. I said, listen, baby. I didn't say baby. I don't call men baby. I said, listen, bro. I said, here's the deal. The devil will leave you alone for a little while. But he's going to come and collect a cover charge. Usually it's in the price of your children or your marriage or your relationship. But the devil ain't going to just leave you alone. And if if I leave the devil alone, maybe he'll leave me alone. No. It's going to come to pass. It may take 20 years, but it's going to come to pass. There are parent after parent after parent, I can tell you, that they got out of church. Yeah, they got out of church, and they made it back to God, but their kids didn't because they wasn't raised up in the house of God. The Bible said if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they grow old, they won't depart from it. That means you got to bring them up in the house of God. You got to bring them up, and you got to be that example. Can I tell you the problem with most people who are sick of church? It's their parents. Because they see their parent one way at church and another way at home. They see their them as church is important, church is important, church is important, church is important. Church ain't that important. And they see the dichotomy going on, and they get so confused, and they don't ever make it back to God. Sometimes you have to stir things up in order to initiate change in your life. Don't live a life of mediocrity because you're unwilling to change. Man, I tell everybody all the time. I mean, one of my sisters tells me this. They goes, Ronnie, you enjoy life. I go, absolutely. I refuse to let anybody who don't know Jesus enjoy life more than I do. Because Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So, man, when I die, I want to slide into the grave sideways. With empty pockets, I've left it all on the field, baby. I lived and loved and laughed and enjoyed life and told people about Jesus. I know some of you are excited because I gave my third little sub-point, but I got another point. Matter of fact, I got two more points. The practical dynamics of biblical change is from last week's. Give me my next one. That point's from last week. My mistake. You have the power to change. However, you got to stop making excuses. You got to stop making excuses why you can't. Well, I can't because of my spouse. Well, I can't because of my job. I can't because I ain't that smart. I can't. You can too. Jesus met a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now listen, when you have an infirmity for 38 years, you get used to some things. He asked the man, he said, and in John chapter 5, and I'm always can't find it comical. You know, you come to a lame man, a man who can't walk, and go, would you like to walk? And today we'd go, duh. What do you think? But Jesus comes to him and says, would you like to walk? He goes, oh, I would. I'd love to have a miracle. But, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what, I try to serve God. But, Lord, Pastor, I would pay tithe. But, Pastor, I would serve. But, Pastor, I would live right. But, man, this time we get the butts out of the church. In this story, the angel would trouble the water, and when people stepped into it, they would be healed. So the man made excuse after excuse for why he couldn't get in the water. Verse number 7, he said, as a result, he said, well, why won't you get in the water? He goes, well, I tried to. But now, I like this part because he said, here's what he said. He said, when the angel of the Lord troubles the water, as I'm trying to get there. Now, I like that. At least he's trying. Some of us sit back and just, well, he ain't going. As I'm trying to get there, somebody steps in front of me. Well, see, now me, if I'd have been there, then I'd have got a legal pad and said, well, here's what you need to do. Don't let them place you far away from it. Place you right by the pool. And when it, you ain't got to step in. Just lay me right by the pool. I'm just going to fall in as soon as I see it. I mean, there better not be nobody in that pool breaking wind because some bubbles coming. I'm coming in, bro. If the water's troubled, I'm coming in. That's what I would do. But no, he said, as I'm coming, somebody always steps in before me. And so he says, but check this out. As a result of his excuse, he remained lame. So as a result of your excuse, you remain the way that you are. Sometimes we need to change the things that we've become accustomed to. Well, how you doing? How you doing? I'm learning to cope. God never called you to cope. He called you to overcome. Problem is, we're trying to cope with stuff we ought to be overcoming. Even before you pray, you have to have a desire, right? Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. God can't move until you really want to change. When's the last time you asked God to change something in you or to help you change in an area? Now, usually, because we're Pentecostal, we ask God, Lord, and we want God to do it all. Lord, would you just give me a talent to play the piano? But you don't ever take a lesson. You want God to just go zap? Look, there's a man by the name of Mark Rutland, great man of God. He was in Santo Domingo. And his first mission trip in Santo Domingo. And his translator had family in Santo Domingo. So he, not Santo Domingo, what's the other one in South America? Santo Domingo's is in the Caribbean. Dominican Republic? Homosexual. Hey, keep your friend in line. Ain't my job, it's good. Anyway, where's Santiago? Where's that at? El Salvador. That's what I was going for. El Salvador. So he's in El Salvador, and he was, it's El Salvador. But he was there, and the translator went to see his family and missed the bus. And church was starting, and nobody speaks English, except for the English-speaking people, which was him and his dad-in-law, neither one of them speak any Spanish. So I don't know how, but they decided, well, we probably need to cancel the service. And Mark Rutland said, no. He goes, what are you going to do? He goes, I don't know, but we're not canceling the service. So they get up there and they sing in Spanish and they introduce Mark Rutland, Reverend Mark Rutland, I don't know. And then he comes up there and he gets up there and he prays a simple prayer in English and he begins to speak his unbelieving father-in-law, who was an unbeliever but went with him, he stood up in the back and said, hey, Mark, don't do that. And Mark said, don't do what? He said, quit mocking these people. You're trying to speak in their tongue and you don't know what you're saying. He goes, I know, Dad, but I think it's all right. So he began to speak some other things. And then his dad stood up again and said, Mark, you're going to get us killed. He goes, I'm just telling you, it's going to be all right. He preached the rest of the service in Spanish. And him not knowing a word of Spanish. And when he got done, his father-in-law, unbelieving father-in-law, was the first one to the altar to get saved. Now, that is incredible, right? However, I want to learn Spanish. So I'm like, God, why can't you just do that to me? Why don't you just poof to Magic Dragon? Happy birthday, Ronnie. Merry Christmas, Ronnie. Here it is, poof. No, not me. had somebody buy me Rosetta Stone. I put it on my computer trying to learn some Spanish. I start using Duolingo, which is an app, trying to learn some Spanish. I get this other app trying to learn some Spanish. And then I can't get mad that God didn't do for me what he did for Mark. Well, God, it must not be God's will, because it didn't poof, a magic dragon, it happened. And then I get aggravated because I don't know any, but then I realize it's been a year since I took a lesson. And it's on my computer. You understand? Now you're laughing because you see how ludicrous that sounds. Look at your own life. I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck, but you haven't read a book on finances. You haven't went to any finance class. You haven't even gone what's that class we do? Peace University. You haven't done any of those things. I want to know more about the Word of God, but you haven't read the Word of God and you don't read the Word of God. Boy, it got quiet real quick. Your desire will then become your motivation for life. How bad do you want change? You've got to desire change like you desire breath. Excuses. I read this and I stole it. I don't remember the guy I stole it from. But it says excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. A lazy person will make excuses. You ever notice? Anybody that's a supervisor, you come and ask somebody, they'll always have an excuse why it's not done. In Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20, a man invited many guests to a banquet, but some made excuses as why they could not show up. Now, I think I have this next slide, and I want to make sure that I get it right. Give me my next one. There we go. An excuse is an attempt to remove yourself from blame. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't like this one. An excuse is an attempt to be released from an obligation or duty. It is an attempt to remove yourself from blame. Well, it wasn't my fault. Whose fault was it? It was the accident. If you got a 3-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. Did you pull their hair? It was an accident. Did you pull that off the... It was an accident. Why did you hit them? It was an accident. Did you drink that milk when you wasn't supposed... It was an accident. Moses made excuses as to why he couldn't do what God told him to do. How many of us do that? How many of us make excuses why we can't do it? God said, I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh. Well, God, I stutter. And I'm not the right person to ask to go talk to Pharaoh. And he goes, I didn't ask you that. I said, go talk to Pharaoh. He had feelings of inadequacy. He felt unqualified for the job. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? He felt like he had too many weaknesses. He had low self-esteem, but God still called him. Quit making excuses why you can't do what God's called you to do. Locate the area in which you've become comfortable making excuses and ask God to help you change there. Eliminate all excuses to go to the next level in your life. Now listen to me. You are the only one hindering yourself. You're the only one hindering your own progress. So why don't you get out of your own way? Do what you have to do to change, to take place in your life. You got the power. The Apostle Paul was the chief among sinners, but 1 Timothy 1 and 15 said he changed. So it doesn't matter what your excuse is, you got the power to change. Point number four, and I'm done after seven more points. There are seven excuses that will cause you to miss heaven. I told you seven, but I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give them to you. Number one. Well, Pastor, everybody's doing it. That's no excuse to do what you're doing. Everybody's doing it. Yeah. You know, I used to say that to my dad when I was coming up. Dad, everybody's doing it. He goes, everybody? I go, yeah. He said, oh, well. He goes, I'm not doing it. Until I do it, it ain't everybody. I hated his logic. But that's what we do. Oh, well, you know. All Christians are sipping wine and drinking now. Not all of them. If you're on my leadership team, you better not be. No. Not everybody. Well, Pastor, times have changed. Yes, they have. You're right. Times have changed. The things that we used to be ashamed of, now we celebrate in public. And the things that we used to be ashamed of, now we have days for it at Disney World. The things that we used to be ashamed of, now we parade in Key West. The things that we used to be ashamed of. The things that we used to try to hide, now we openly show. The times have changed, but His word has not. His word is forever settled in heaven. It has not changed. And I still believe in the old rugged cross. And I still believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I still believe that there is a right and a way and a wrong. I still believe that God convicts sinners of their sin and convicts saints of their sins. I still believe it. Well, I don't believe as you do. Well, apparently we don't. You don't. But that's what we do. Well, we don't believe. Listen, I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm asking you to read the Bible. All right, if you don't think I'm telling the truth, read the Bible. Well, you can make the Bible say whatever you want. You're right. Rightly divide the Word of God. But don't miss heaven because you don't believe. Well, Pastor, I just don't believe, you know. Hey, I've had them say it. Well, Pastor, I just don't believe that you got to be married anymore, you know. God, we do enough for the Lord, and the Lord looks over us shacking up. You laugh. I've heard that. No, He don't. And let me just say this. Fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, is wrong for the teenager, for the 20-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 40-year-old, the 50-year-old, the 60-year-old, the 70, 80, and 90-year-old. If you're still doing it at 90, God bless you. As long as you're married, bless you. All right, here's another one. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter that you're sincerely wrong. Well, I'm sincere. I mean, listen, and I'm not asking in for a fight, but Jehovah's Witnesses are really sincere. They're more sincere than most Christians. Why? Because I don't see Christians out going door to door, and I'm not one of them either. But I'm not bucking them. Come on, somebody. You don't see us out doing what they're doing, but yet they're sincerely wrong. He's not against me. He's saying amen is what he's doing. Everybody's like, what? He's like, amen. He's with me. Some people are like, oh, geez, that's a big old boy. What are we going to do to him? We got him. The Holy Ghost got him. He's that's right. Security. Check the big bald guy on the left there, right there. I'm going to need a couple of guys. He's a big old boy. Come on, y'all. Yeah. No, hey, yeah, that's Dr. Tim. He preaches here. Come on. But no, you see what I'm saying? They're sincerely wrong, but they're sincere. So I'm not talking about your sincerity. Why don't we get the Word of God and get sincere about sincerely seeking God to see what God sincerely wants us to do and just saying, well, I'm sincere. Because everybody is sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. No, not all roads lead to heaven. He said, narrow is the way. He said, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes unto the Father except through Him. Period. All right. Here comes another one. You ready? Come on. Let me get us out of here. Well, I don't understand. Come on, come back. Start playing something so I'll shut up. I don't understand. Well, that's your fault. Well, I don't understand the Bible. Do you know how many versions of the Bible there are? Well, which one do I read? Why don't you get one that you can understand? Because, now listen to me. They're pretty close. Now, you know, there are some differences. The NIV, which we call the nearly inspired version, it leaves out, and this cometh but by prayer and fasting. It leaves it out. There's some other versions that leave. But listen, if you would just read the Bible, even if it left out a couple of things, if you would get 75% of what's in here, you and your family and your life would be so much better off. The church would be better off. Your neighborhood would be better off. And your family is going to be better off. But don't just read it, do it. I don't understand. Well, that's why you ought to come to church. That's why you ought to get into Bible study class. Wait a minute. We got Bible study class? All the time. We got them going on all the time. Well, I didn't know that. Well, open up your bulletin. Get on a website, why don't you? My God, ask somebody at church. This is the one that always gets us. I'll put it off till later. I'll just put it off till later. I've had some of my brothers say, Ronnie, I know, I'm going to get it right before I die. Really, you know when you're going to die? Wow. And I'm not, please don't be offended on this. But how about the people in France last night? Did they know they were going to die? The two that were killed? Was it last night or the night before? Did they know that? Huh? You never know. I'm not putting off later. I want to make sure that heaven's going to be my home. I want to make sure that I change. I don't want to live a life that 20 or 30 years from now, I say, I wished I would have changed because my kids won't talk to me. They don't know who I am and they don't give me the time. Listen, and I understand there are people in here who have that right now. And I am so sorry. But you cannot just fret over what you've went through and where you're at right now. Start where you are and say, today is the first day of salvation in my life. And I'm never going to be the same. I'm not going back to who I was or what I was. But I'm going to step into the anointing of God. I'm going to step into what God has for me in this life. And I love this one. I get this one a lot. I'm just too bad. I love telling this particular story. I was witnessing to a guy at the gym. Yeah, I went once. And he said, oh, man. He said, I'm too bad, Pastor. Too far gone. I said, you are. He goes, yeah, man. He's, you know, you always hear this. Building would fall down if I ever walked in. I go, man, we built that thing good. It can sustain 140 mile an hour wind. That thing would just implode if I came in. I said, all right, I give. I said, all right. Tell me your worst thing you've ever done in your life. No, man, it'd make you turn. It'd make you blush. I said, bro, I've heard it all. Come on. Give me your best shot. Are you for real? So give me your best shot. Well, I don't want to offend you. Give me your best shot. Kind of hard to offend me. Tell me, bro. Worst thing you ever did. He told me. I said, psst. He said, are you for real? I said, yeah, psst. I said, dude, I got 10 women worse than that. You're a little punk compared to these women. I'm too bad. You're never too bad for how good Jesus is. You're never too bad. Because Jesus took the very ones that was crucified him and said, Lord, don't hold it to their charge. They know not what they do. Tonight, on this 12th day of December, just a few weeks away from starting the new year, why don't you get a jump in on it, man? You know, it's Wednesday night. I'm sure most of us know Jesus or has had an encounter with Jesus. But I want to ask you tonight, just look over your life, and not for condemnation. Look at the areas where you need to change, man. And as you get that in your mind, say, God, I'm not going into 2019 being the same way I am today. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. There's a call going out right now. Stop making excuses. I don't have time. Stop making excuses. Here's what I want us to do. Tonight, if God has pricked you anywhere or any on this message, I want you to step out of your seat and join me down here. Just lift up your hands, call out to him, tell him.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.